I think you'll notice when you, as you look at the professional development course schedule, that all of those topics are intermediate to expert level courses. They're really talking about detailed things or next level things. But for the basics, I'm putting together this fundamentals course, which is a full day course on Monday before the technical conference starts. And it'll talk about each facet of the industry in basic terms to kind of get you up to speed with how electronics are made from soup to nuts, from the design stage through PCB fabrication to assembly and soldering processes to those processes that make our assemblies more reliable, like cleaning and coating, and trying to catch all the terminology in between. Also fundamental things like, what is IPC? What's the history of IPC? How do I use a standard? Basic things like that. And then with a panel discussion over lunch about skills for success, asking these speakers that we're bringing together, these experts from our industry, what made them successful in their lives and in their careers, and what were some turning points or lessons learned along the way. And then also a panel discussion at the end that'll cover hot topics. So here are all the basics, and then we'll end with like, what's in the future? What are the topics that you should be paying attention to that'll have an impact in the next couple of years?
That's my guest, IPC's Brooke Sandy, next on Reliability Matters.
Welcome to Reliability Matters, a podcast for the electronic assembly industry. Each episode covers topics related to reliability, best practices, and environmentally responsible assembly techniques, with insights from experts across the electronic assembly industry. Now, here's your host, Mike Conrad.
Brooke Sandy returns as my guest. Brooke is IPC's Technical Conference Program Manager. On our last episode, Brooke and I discussed IPC's Apex Expo in a more general sense. Brooke and her team have since been very busy selecting speakers and subject matter for the conference, which she recently finalized. On today's conversation with Brooke, we dive into the conference program, who's presenting and on what subjects, what's new, and specifically, what can we look forward to? Brooke Sandy, IPC, welcome back.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, well, thank you for coming back a second time. Very few people come back a second time. They're on to me. When I call, they don't answer the phone. So thanks for answering the phone.
Lucky me, too. I get to come back and talk a little bit more about Apex.
Right?
There's so many new things this year, we couldn't fit it into one podcast.
Yeah, very good. So, you know, we did, for our audience's sake, if you didn't listen to the interview with Brooke, part one, since that interview where we talked in a more generic sense about Apex and the types of technical content that would be there, Brooke, after that interview, got back to work with herself and her team and have actually filled in all the gaps. And we now have specific speakers on specific topics and all sorts of professional development courses and other technical type content. And Brooke is back with me today so we can talk about what to expect at IPC Apex Expo in San Diego coming up in February, which is like, you know, 8 seconds from now. So relatively speaking.
2020.
So many puns we can take off of 2020. You know, 2020 is a vision, you know, it's a vision scale. And, you know, will we
have lots of topics to focus on.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think I can actually press this button. There we go. There we go. I was always looking for an excuse to press that button. So anyway, let's talk about some of the technical details coming up at Apex. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, well, first, one of the things that's really cool about this year is that we will be on the other side of the convention center. So I'm introducing this idea of the intersection, which is the intersection between the technical conference and the exhibit show floor. Because I think there are a lot of people from the technical conference that go down to the show floor, but I would love to increase that pollination and get more people to come up from the show floor up to the technical conference and participate in a few sessions. So I have expanded the free sessions this year, and we're calling them the sessions at the intersection. So this could be the intersection of the APEX show floor and the technical conference. It could be the intersection of two different organizations, or the intersection between business and engineering. But it'll also be in this nice space that we have where the technical conference sessions are. Across the hallway are windows that look out onto the bay. And so this is a place that you can come to have little meetings and maybe step outside for a minute to enjoy the sunshine and take a phone call, or just get off the show floor for a minute. So these sessions are meant to be interactive in most cases. They're topically about either a cool new process or some change that's coming to the industry, or you know, the bigger issues that we deal with on a daily basis. So I'm excited about this. This is a new thing and a really good offering, I think.
And just to make sure I heard it correctly, those sessions at the intersection are at no additional charge. If you have a badge to attend the show floor, you can attend those sessions there?
Yes. And there are more than 10 of them.
Wow.
So on various topics. So throughout the technical conference, and when the show floor is open, there will also be these sessions available. They are off of the show floor, just so that we can have, you know, a conference room atmosphere where everyone can hear the speakers and everything.
Right.
But it's also in a nice place where you can see the sunshine for a minute and maybe have a comfortable seat and take a phone call or a meeting. So
look at the Pacific Ocean and learn things at the same time.
Wow, what a concept.
What a concept. That's great.
And some of these sessions are interaction sessions. So I'm writing this with the inter, small, and the action in big letters, because these are sessions that are like panel discussions or some sort of alternative format like that to get the conversation going both ways, instead of just speaker to attendee trying to level the playing field and get conversations started on hot topics.
So on the panel, I love panel discussions because it's, you know, you don't have a chance to read your prepared remarks. And, you know, you actually are just, you're at the other end of a ping pong table with everyone slamming balls towards you, and you have to react to those, which is great because it's less scripted and it's I think, a little bit more authentic. And it is completely attendee driven. With the questions coming from the attendees. So what types of topics can we expect on the panel discussions? Has that been nailed down yet?
Oh, yeah. So there are a bunch of different kinds of them. So for interaction sessions, we have one on semi-additive processes for building circuits. So this is a new technology that I'm not sure we've had presentations on before. So picture starting with a very thin base layer of copper and almost using something like 3D printing to build up the circuits. Whereas usually circuits nowadays, you start with a big piece of copper and you etch away what you don't want to create the circuit.
Yeah, you build down the circuit.
This is the opposite way.
Yeah. Well, it seems more efficient, maybe a little slower, but more efficient, maybe more prone to prototyping and things like that, at least.
Yeah, and it enables like very fine spacings that you couldn't achieve by other means. So it's really good for HDI and microelectronics.
Very good. Yeah, I am hearing a lot of talk about additives. And the first time I heard it, I'm like, additive to what? I had no idea what that meant. But it's I understand the terminology behind it, because you're adding to build a circuit, not subtracting from to build a circuit. But it is a confusing, for me anyway, it's kind of a confusing name, because I hear additives, I think of chemicals. That's just the lens I look through.
Right. So there will be an open session in the sessions at the intersection that has papers from three different companies. One is like a company that makes the circuits, one is like a company that uses the circuits, and the other company, I believe, makes the materials that are used to do this. So you'll get to see from different perspectives how this approach is being implemented today. And then we'll have an interaction session right after that so that we can engage in this conversation and talk about some of the limitations or the technologies that this enables.
Very good. What other types of subjects do you see coming up in those panel discussions and in the intersection?
Yes. So another topic would be our MicroV conversation that's been going on. I think this one started at APEX last year. There was an open session in the committee meetings to talk about this. The issue that's come forward in the industry where when you have stacked microvias or lots of microvia structures, there can be a weak interface in there that's very hard to detect. Have you heard about this? Actually, I think you might have been at the panel discussion we had at the High Reliability Forum
about this. It's all familiar.
Yeah. So it's a really interesting issue that a number of companies have come to IPC with, and that in the committee, they're working to come up with guidelines on how to test for this and how to avoid it. But this is definitely an issue that is interesting to many people. And so we'll have an interaction session on that topic. Another topic that I feel like maybe I wasn't aware of before, or maybe it just hasn't been done before, but to talk about best practices for strategically buying boards, whether from inside of the U.S. or outside of the U.S. So that'll be an interesting panel discussion that kind of brings together the intersection of engineering and procurement.
I love that subject. I just interviewed Alan Morgan, who is, the intergalactic chief of all circuit board fabrication in Europe. I don't think that's
awesome.
His official title, but
intergalactic.
Intergalactic,
even.
Yes, intergalactic. And he's been around a long time. He's a brand ambassador, or actually a technology ambassador. And anyway, we got into a long discussion about the reliability of circuit assemblies within the automobile market and how that's becoming more and more high reliability, more and more harsh environment, higher and higher voltages, et cetera. And that led us to a discussion about how important it is for the assemblers to talk to their board fabricators to provide as much information as to the in-use climatic environment, the cost of failure, the expected reliability, all of that, not just provide a Gerber file or whatever it is they provide and say, and name a FR4 material, but to really share with the fabricator, the more detailed information about where that product is going to go, how it's going to live, how it has to act, so that the fabricator can suggest maybe different material sets or different, laminating techniques or whatever, to further enhance the reliability of the board and to bring those two industries closer together. There is a huge chasm between board fabrication and assembly. Even though it's the next stage in the food chain, there is, at least from my perspective, a lot of ignorance between those two industries. The assembly people think the fabricators don't know what happens to the board afterwards, and we have no idea how it was made. It was just left by the board fairy under a pillow, and so getting those two industries to communicate more about what the what their expectations are, what their needs are, is the first step in increasing reliability. So I think that's a wonderful direction to take the part of the technical conference.
Oh yeah, and I think there is a group of people that come to APEX to look for the new board technology or meet new board houses that are in the area. And I don't think that they typically come up to the technical conference. So I think this was an interesting offering to add to the program. And hopefully people will utilize this chance to learn. It's free to people that are coming from the exhibition floor. So come up and check out a technical session.
Excellent. Excellent. Any more on the free stuff before we get into the paid content?
Oh yeah, well just let me highlight we're having some content on e-textiles that'll be in this free forum. We'll have a couple sessions with iNEMI on new technologies that are pushing requirements for our industry. And then I'll have a couple of interaction sessions on Thursday, which go into maybe the softer side of electronics, if you want to think of it that way. But big issues that we have on our plate today, that we can each do a little bit and make a little decision that will help the big picture. So these are big topics like environment, social justice, and global responsibility. And I'm calling these sessions, the overarching topic would be conscientious engineering. So I think these are topics that we see in the news every day, and they can sometimes be polarizing topics. But in the electronics industry, we each have the ability to make little decisions every day that could really help maybe one or all of these areas. An example might be you're setting up a new, you're a line engineer that's setting up a new cleaning process. Do you choose to go with something that recycles the water and purifies the water? Do you choose to dump the water? Like, these kinds of decisions have big environmental consequences, and they're little things that we could do every day to improve things for right. the future.
In our world, in the cleaning world, we are very conscious about the environment because we're taking bad stuff off a board and putting it somewhere else, not on a board, and we use chemicals and things like that. And it's funny because we have two groups of customers. One group, we say we have a zero discharge alternative to cleaning so that nothing goes down the drain and, you know, that saves the planet and blah, 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 you know, get really green on them. And some of them go, yeah, I want to do that. I want to make a socially conscious choice. And then others go, I recycle my cans. I don't need to do anything else. But then we'll say, well, you know, the fine for putting stuff down the drain is, you know, $150,000 on a first offense, and the second time you go to jail. And all of a sudden they become socially conscious. So there's always a, at least my experience is that there is almost always a monetary payback to go green. And it may be in the savings of a fine. It may be in the polished up value of your reputation. It may be avoiding inspections that might lead to something else. It may be you just go to sleep at night and know you've done something good for the world. But either way, there is always either a higher level motivation or a very practical economic motivation. But either way, it all leads to greener manufacturing.
Oh, absolutely. And I have structured these sessions not as a panel discussion, but kind of as table discussions within the room, and then kind of sharing the things that we think of, almost like brainstorming sessions. What are the little things that we can do to impact these bigger issues that we, regardless of which side you're on, you have feelings about it. There are things that tap into our concerns for the future and like really big things. And I think if we just talk about it a little bit and brainstorm new ideas, just having those discussions can make a difference. So maybe this is a little bit more touchy-feely than what we usually talk about at this technical conference, but I think it's an important discussion to start.
And yeah, totally agree.
And hearing what some of our big fancy companies that we really admire, what they're doing to support these issues, and then taking those little bits of knowledge back with us to our own smaller companies, that I think it's a cool thing.
Yeah, I'm just, you're sharing your screen with me, so I'm eavesdropping on some of the technical courses. And
what are the other things?
Well, some of the ones that strike me, and of course I come from one very specific end of our industry, but bottom terminated component challenges, that can be an entire day if they wanted to get deep into that. High yes. frequency applications that in the world of contamination, that's a big one. Reliability testing. High IO designs; those are all factors that the automotive industry is you know racing into. Surface treatments looks very interesting. Looking down the list,
updated stuff on Industry 4.0 or
yes,
CFX
yes.
or smart manufacturing, whatever you want to call it.
Absolutely, reliability of entrapped fluxes. That almost sounds like an oxymoron, reliability and entrapped fluxes. Yeah, that doesn't sound like they go together. But
there isn't an opposite of reliability, vulnerability. Right.
Yeah, the
of
vulnerability.
Entrapped fluxes.
Yeah, the liability of entrapped fluxes. But lots of interesting stuff, and I'm just looking at one page here. So there's.
Oh yeah, well that's. I mean, you're looking at the full technical conference. So this encompasses 80 different presentations that are based on papers, and then I think 13, lucky number 13, interaction sessions at the intersection of different things, which are free. So the topics you just rattled off are all from the technical conference. Those are like the S sessions, and then the I sessions are the free sessions.
Okay.
So there's a lot going on here.
There is. And then there's all sorts of professional development courses as well, right?
Yeah, professional development courses take place Sunday, Monday, and Thursday, whereas the technical conference takes place Tuesday afternoon after the keynote, which is Tuesday morning, and then Wednesday, and then Thursday morning.
So one of the differences between the professional development courses and the regular tech sessions are generally 25 minutes of talking, 5 minutes of Q&A, and generally. And professional development courses go deep. They're a few hours long, is that correct?
Yep, 3 hours for professional development courses. So that means the instructors have a lot more time to go into depth on all the way from the basics up to the specific subject matter they're talking about. Whereas the presentations are just reporting out the results from a paper that's published in the proceedings. And typically they don't talk about the whole background in those presentations. They really get to the nitty gritty pretty quickly. So, the professional development courses are perfect for someone who wants to really learn about a new facet of the industry or a new strategy. And then the technical sessions, I would say, are more reporting the latest developments on new things.
Right. And what types of professional development courses do you have planned for us?
Well, the coolest thing about this year is that I think about 80% of them are brand new to APEX this year. So we have some new topics, and then even the topics that we brought back are some of the most popular topics from the last year. Let me highlight a couple of general ones that might be really interesting. One would be Dale Lee from Plexus. He's been doing a Design for Excellence course, which is excellent. Pun intended, I guess. Uh-huh. Or it's not even a pun, really.
He's a strong speaker.
Poor jerk.
I've heard him speak. Well, oh, wait a minute. Nate and I can go like this. There we go.
Oh,
that's the second sound effect I've been able to use.
That's what I needed.
That's so cool. You let me do, I can't do that with anyone else. But thank you for letting me
so,
do that.
Yeah. So Design for Excellence to him is like a combination of design for manufacturing, design for reliability, design for assembly, design for test, considering all of those things and looking at his, you know, the depths of his experience with all of the different things that Plexus makes. And he kind of tells really true to life stories about things that can make your assembly life a lot easier and design choices that can be made to make your life a lot harder. And it gives people a lot of food for thought in this area. That's a full day course on Sunday, and it's one of my favorites. So I invited him back again this year.
I enjoy listening to Dilly. He's a dynamic speaker, and he makes
a dynamic
whatever
speaker.
Content interesting.
Yeah. And he's the backbone to so many of our standards. He's been very active in IPC standards development. And if you want to hear it from the horse's mouth, well, Dale's the horse, but he doesn't look like one or anything.
You heard it here first. He doesn't look like a horse.
No. I just mean, like, if you want to get the straight dope kind of story.
Right from
he'll
the source.
He'll tell you. Yeah. I mean, he's very straightforward, and he'll tell you what's what. And you'll learn a lot from this course.
Excellent.
So that's one of my favorites for sure. And then another one that I brought back again from last year is Gustav Martinsson from Micronic. I went to his training last year, and it's about non-contact additive technologies for contemporary electronics. So this is related to like dispensing and jetting, which I think we all talk about in some way, or we think about it. We know that there are other ways to put solder paste on a board than stencil printing. But
it's still a mystery around it. It's stuff that other people do.
It's kind of mysterious, but his course is really good. It starts with the basics of fluid dynamics, which I think is super interesting because with my chemical engineering background, I learned a lot about that, but somebody from maybe electrical engineering or something didn't have classes on, you know, fluid mechanics and stuff. And he has lots of cool hands-on exercises that illustrate his points. So that was a really cool one that I've seen from last year. So check that one out. It's in competition with Dale's on Sunday, but that's also a nice one to highlight.
Very good.
Yeah, another cool day-long course, which is new this year, is actually in conjunction with AIAG. It's an organization in the automotive industry. So they're coming to do an effective problem solving workshop, which is a full day on Monday. So I thought that was really interesting because a lot of times at Apex, we have very specific things to the electronics industry, but zooming out and talking about the fundamentals of problem solving, which is something no matter what job you do in this industry, I'm sure that you're solving a problem.
Sure.
Somewhere.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I thought that was a really cool addition this year. And then another thing that's special about this year is, you know, there are 5 professional development course times. Basically, there are 2 on Sunday, 2 on Monday, and 1 on Thursday. And in each of these sessions, if you call them that, in each of these time slots, we have 1 presentation on surface reliability. Now, surface reliability is a term that we haven't used previously, but I'm proposing it to cover kind of the topics around cleaning and conformal coating, because surface reliability is what we're really trying to achieve. We want the surface of our assembly to be reliable in the future. And there are lots of different ways to get there. So that's one area that I identified and made a whole series of courses around that topic, because I think it's kind of what everyone's talking about right now, especially with the changes to the G-Standard 1 cleanliness section, or what is the title of
right.
Section 8?
Well, it's the Amendment 1 to J-Standard 001G, Section 8, to
on
be specific.
Cleanliness?
On cleanliness assessment techniques. They've changed a lot. I love the idea of changing the name from like cleaning and coating to surface reliability, because reliability means different things to different people. There are people who are concerned about ionic contamination on a board that could lead to electrochemical migration failure mechanisms. And their solution would either be to protect the board from harsh environments, including any degree of moisture, or remove the contaminants. Then there are other people who aren't really concerned about ECM issues, but they are concerned about the coating delaminating. And they need cleanliness for an entirely different reason, and they may even need a different standard on cleanliness. So surface reliability kind of is a bigger umbrella than just cleaning to avoid ECM or cleaning to improve adhesion of coating. There are all sorts of other underlying surface reliability topics that can be discussed.
Do you mean calf, or is that just a silly pun again?
there we go. Yes.
Ba-dum-bum. I know you've got it.
I've got it. I got to keep my fingers away from those buttons. Calf is another one. Calf is, although it's not a surface reliability issue, going back to our earlier discussion about working with the board fabricator, CAF is something that can be avoided with choosing the right materials and the right processes that a board is built with. And you can't clean your way out of CAF. So by the time you get board, CAF will either happen or it won't. But CAF is kind of an inter-surface reliability issue.
Yeah, it's just below the surface.
Just below the surface. You can't do anything about it later, but you can do something about it beforehand. And you can totally prevent CAF, which is another form of electrochemical migration just within the layer. So it falls under surface reliability, kind of beneath the surface reliability.
The surface.
Right. Subterranean surface reliability.
Yeah. So in this case, though, surface reliability encompasses a couple of presentations. One, in fact, by our very own Mike Conrad about the changes.
Oh, there goes the neighborhood.
The changes that are coming, along with Doug Pauls, is also another one of these hearing it straight from the horse's mouth kind of guys,
right,
where you can go and hear him talk about generating objective evidence to support the changes to the J Standard 1.
That's an important topic right now, because that's kind of hitting people. I teach on that subject, and when I talk about objective evidence and here's the roadmap to get objective evidence, people just look at you like you've just spoken a Klingon language or something. So,
yeah, kind of the two of you are almost like 1-2 punching us with this, because you're going to talk about how you can comply with the cleanliness testing requirements, and he's talking about generating objective evidence, which kind of
that the testing
establishes
is based
the
off.
Testing yeah, requirements, right?
Absolutely. It is a 1-2 punch. Yeah, it's definitely you have to start with him and then end with me or someone like me that can tell you how to correlate to the objective evidence that Doug is teaching about. So it's definitely, you have to start with the objective evidence, and then you have to have a way to monitor that you're fulfilling that objective evidence requirement.
Well, yeah, that won't be possible chronologically at APEX, because his presentation is on Thursday, which is after yours, but hopefully they can anyone who goes to both trainings will get the full view of how to do these things,
sure,
how to comply with the new requirements. And then also in this category, we have one of my new friends, if I would be so audacious to say so, Elizabeth Kidd from BTG Labs, who's doing something really interesting, introducing a new test method. Well, the test method isn't new, but the application is new. So applying this test method for checking the consistency of your surface of your assembly after everything is done, and also assessing the ability of the conformal coating to stick.
She was a guest on this show a few months ago, and she's a dynamic speaker. I would highly recommend you go listen to her. She's exceptionally passionate about what her company does. And what her company does, as you mentioned, is they have a different application for an existing technology. And when people do cleanliness testing, they are usually testing to gauge the propensity of electrochemical migration. They're usually testing for ionic contaminants. They're not generally testing to see if the conformal coat will stick, you know, in 6 months or 6 years. So, you know, the technology that they're implementing uniquely will tell you if the conformal coat will stick. It'll basically give you a guideline to the, I don't know if this is a word, adherability of a surface. And it came out of other industries where, like the painting industry and the metal finishing industry and, you know, it's, stuff like that. But in our industry, it lands on wire bonding and conformal coating in terms of assessing the effectiveness of a wire bond or the integrity of a coating and whether or not it will stick over a period of time. So it's an interesting new application to an existing technology. I think it has some definite advantages in our industry.
Oh, yeah. I had used this test method actually in a job before I was even in electronics in this way, where I was working on conductive adhesives and inks for RFID technology. And we would use this method to measure the smoothness of the surface of different inks while we were developing them. So there are lots of different applications for this water droplet test, measuring the contact angle of the water droplet, or you can always use other things other than water too. But I think this is the first time we're trying to see what it can do in the electronics industry. And it's a, you know, when we're talking about process control for maintaining this idea of cleanliness, it's difficult to find a test method that works, because you want something that's quick and easy and kind of foolproof. I think that's why Rose was so popular.
Sure, something you could do on the production floor.
Exactly. But this is another approach that doesn't use so much fluid and measures in a different way, right, which does kind of fit those criteria of something quick, something that you could do on every board, something that's relatively foolproof, easy, right, not cost prohibitive.
Right. And SIR won't tell you if your conformal coating will stick, and ROSE testing won't tell you if your conformal coating will stick. It might tell you there's so much stuff on it, it won't stick, but it won't really, it's really... It'll tell you if your board is grossly contaminated or marginally contaminated, but there's really no, it will stick, it won't stick, you know, pass, fail. So it, I can't think of any other, you know, from ion chromatography to FTIR to ROSE to SIR, all the other acronyms that are out there, I can't think of anything that is completely suitable for predicting the adhesion of a coating or a wire bond. Than that type of contact angle measurement test. So that's, I think, I'm always excited when I hear new things, because a lot of times I go to these conferences, and as you do, and 80%, I'm not saying this is, but lots of conferences are 80% of the stuff you heard last year, and maybe if you're lucky, 20% new stuff. And then the next year, that 20% becomes part of the 80, and then, you know, some other new stuff comes in. But there does seem to be an element of, you know, more than before, of new stuff being presented here, which is exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this application of this test method is so new that we're still exploring ways that it can be used. Because you might even think that if you're using water and there's ionic contamination there, that might change the surface tension of the droplet or the contact angle.
Sure.
In such a way that you could measure it, even if it changes over time or something. There's still a little bit more work to be done there. Maybe it has an even broader application than we think.
Sure, absolutely. They might even be able to retrieve that water and run that sample through additional testing. I mean, that could be the, you know, 2.0 version.
Oh my gosh, that would be the kicker, right?
Wouldn't it? Yeah.
Oh, geez. Well, you'd have to use even more water, I guess, but... It'll be fun to see how this kind of approach develops, but I also love having just something new to think about.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So there are two more surface reliability topics, options to tackle electronics assembly cleaning. This is kind of in the broader sense. What are all the different ways you can clean different things, from industrial stuff to electronics and so, like, harsh stuff, sensitive stuff. This is kind of the broad brush view of how big cleaning can be. Mm-hmm. And then also Bill Capon from Honeywell, who is an old friend of mine. I'm sure you know him as well.
I know him well.
As he's been a usual suspect in these meetings for years. he's going to talk about the challenges of implementing and improving a batch wash system. So I think a lot of people, when they think of cleaning, maybe think of inline cleaning, but most, you know, places that are doing a little bit of electronics assembly are using batch cleaners. So I don't think I've seen any presentations specific to batch washing before either.
Yeah, you're right. Batch is the you know, predominant technology in terms of units. Overseas, you know, Asia, if they're cleaning at all, they're probably cleaning in inline machines more than batch. But certainly in North America, where we're higher reliability, higher mix, lower quantity, batch seems to fall into that market a little more smoothly than inline does.
I think it's really cool stuff. I like to have, also he brings an interesting point of view as being someone from the user side of things that has been implementing his own wash systems for years and wanted to bring together, this is almost like leaving his legacy, bringing together all of that knowledge from years of implementing batch wash systems. And I think he'll be able to give some really cool insights.
Absolutely. From a user perspective.
And help out people that are using them.
Yeah. Unbiased user perspective rather than, you know, the batch people talking about batch and the inline people talking about inline, the cleaning people talking about cleaning. It's good to get that perspective from someone who doesn't benefit from the outcome.
Yeah. Someone who's doing it.
Absolutely.
All the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that pretty much covers service reliability. Another big topic where we have lots and lots of trainings is always design. I mentioned the Design for Excellence course that Dale Lee is giving, but there are lots of other design-focused presentations or professional development courses to choose from, depending on what your particular interest is. And then there are always reliability presentations. I mean professional development courses. And professional development courses on printed circuit board fabrication. So we run the full gambit of everything you might want to learn. I also added a few leadership topics this year to, you know, build some of those soft skills. I don't like calling them soft skills. They're really like the power skills, you know. They're the skills that differentiate you and help you move up in your career and really focus on leadership and taking control of your career and control of your job. So one really cool one that stands out for me is Steve Williams. I'm not sure if you know him. He's been an instructor for years from TRA Consulting. He's doing a professional development course that talks about PCB leadership lessons from history's most ruthless leaders. So this is learning about like leaders from history, like Genghis Khan, and applying those lessons to printed circuit board leadership. So
that's going to be interesting. That's the Genghis Khan approach to circuit reliability.
Yes, the most ruthless leaders. I was like, wow, what's that going to be like? It sounds amazing.
That does sound amazing.
Yeah, it sounds like it'll be fun too, but like informative and get you thinking about ways to improve your career, but at the same time, like fun and indulgent for those history buffs out there.
What can we learn from the Vikings? Yeah, that's going to be good.
Yeah, I think it'll be a really cool, fun one. And then another one in the leadership category from a new instructor is called Fostering Team Effectiveness is a New Competitive Advantage. So I love that this is a new way of thinking about things. You know, we focus on the technical side of things and we can make our process really efficient, but maybe with a little bit of focus, we could make our team better, make our team work like a well-oiled machine like our line is.
I love that kind of higher level approach. You know, you're not getting down into the weeds. You're not falling down the rabbit hole in terms of one technical issue. It's a broader, almost more philosophical approach to the issues that we are faced with.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's a cool new way of thinking about things. I know sometimes being an engineer, I get really focused on the technical details and, you know, don't look up from my little world that I'm looking at to see the bigger picture. And I think it's nice to have opportunities to go to a professional development course like this one and start thinking about the bigger picture and how we can work together better on a daily basis, make everyone's life a little easier.
I'm reading one right now that I would definitely want to go see by our friend Phil Zaro. And it's Lessons Learned from the Trenches of SMT Assembly and a Decade of Board Talk. That is, of course, he and his partner, Jim Hall, produce a show called Board Talk, kind of a call-in, you know, ask and answer type show. And it's always entertaining to hear that. And to think that's going to be, you know, on a stage at Apex will be entertaining at the very least.
Yeah. You know, I love those guys, you know, Phil and Jim. I feel like I've known them since the very first time I stepped into the industry. You know, Ron Lasky worked with me a little bit at Indium Corporation. He's another one of these guys from ITM Consulting, and we used to get dinners together. I feel like I learned so much from them over the years, and people love this board talk. It's like a podcast from before there were podcasts.
Yes.
They talk about common PCB assembly problems as if, or just like the old radio show Car Talk.
Yeah.
Oh, where people would call it and be like, oh, my car's making this weird noise.
Yes. They follow in that, you know, South Boston mentality, you know, persona, just like the Car Talk brothers did. Yeah. They're so fun to listen to. You've heard of Lunch and Learns. These are more like Laugh and Learns, right?
I love those guys.
Yeah. Me too.
So I encouraged them. I was like, instead of doing the same great training that you do every year, is there a way that we could just, could you just tell us stories and, you know, lessons learned from all of these stories that you've heard over the years? And so they're putting together a little something special. I think they're even writing a book to bring together all of this board talk knowledge.
Yeah, I had him on the show several months ago, and I just, it was a like a guilty indulgence. I'm like, okay, guys, you know, okay, we can talk about best practices, but I'd really like to talk about everything you've seen go wrong in the field. You know, you don't just throwing your customers out to dry. They have great stories. And I said, you know, that you can change the names of the guilty, whatever, but tell me some great stories. And yeah, I would just, I could sit in a bar with them over a few drinks, you know, for hours and listening to their stories from the field.
Oh yeah. And you know, I have, maybe not over drinks, but we have had dinner a number of times.
There you go.
They're very knowledgeable, great guys to learn from. So yeah. I was excited to bring that new offering. I think it'll be fun. I mean, it's on Thursday. You've already had a tough week. Just come and listen to these guys learn a little something in an entertaining way.
Yep. Very good.
Yeah. So we could go on forever. This is a big program. It's available right now online on the website. You can use the agenda planner to start putting together maybe your proposal if you need to justify expenses to come to APEX. Trying to get as much content about this program out there as early as I can to help you guys out with justifying these expenses, because this is going to be a do not miss year, 20 years, the 20 year anniversary of APEX in 2020.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. And we talked on the last episode about the kind of the origins of APEX, how it came out of the kind of the ruins of NEPCON. And APEX was always thought to be a show, you know, by the people, for the people. And even though it's still run by a trade organization, it's one run by a trade organization that is, you know, comprised of us, me and you and all our listeners. So it is a show of the people, for the people, by the people.
Oh, yeah. For the technical program, I'm not doing this all on my own, that's for sure. I've got the help of a little bit more than 10 people on our technical program committee, and I am endlessly appreciative of all that they do to make the technical conference great. And then on the expo side, there's a very strong planning committee over there too, which is all people from the industry. So yeah, this is definitely for the industry, by the industry, and I'm trying to spice things up a little bit and give a few more offerings to break us out of what we usually think of being at the technical conference.
Yeah.
All that good stuff will be there in a little bit more.
Yeah, it shows. No, I'm excited to be part of it from a speaker standpoint and participate in on the listening side of it. Let's end with this. Tell me, we talked about it before, and that is kind of a new course that you're bringing in called The Fundamentals. And I think it was a response to the realization that there's a lot of new talent coming into our industry, the young people that are graduating university and coming in educated and unexperienced. And this is a chance to direct certain course materials specifically to that type of audience of new folks, you know, deer in the headlights. What types of subjects are going to fall under the fundamentals?
Oh, yeah. I think you'll notice when you, as you look at the professional development course schedule, that all of those topics are intermediate to expert level courses. They're really talking about detailed things or next level things. But for the basics, I'm putting together this fundamentals course, which is a full day course on Monday before the technical conference starts. And it'll talk about each facet of the industry in basic terms to kind of get you up to speed with how electronics are made from soup to nuts, from the design stage through PCB fabrication to assembly and soldering processes to those processes that make our assemblies more reliable, like cleaning and coating, and trying to catch all the terminology in between. Also, fundamental things like what is IPC, what's the history of IPC, how do I use a standard, basic things like that. And then with a panel discussion over lunch about skills for success asking these speakers that we're bringing together, these experts from our industry, what made them successful in their lives and in their careers, and what were some turning points or lessons learned along the way. And then also a panel discussion at the end that'll cover hot topics. So here are all the basics, and then we'll end with like, what's in the future? What are the topics that you should be paying attention to that'll have an impact in the next couple of years?
Excellent. Well, that's good. That's it's nice to see. I think we had all expressed in prior conversations our concern over the gentrifying in some cases of our industry and what others have called the silver tsunami of, you know,
yeah, it's funny you bring that up.
People leaving and it's like, hello, you know, who's coming?
What are we gonna do? Yeah, well, I'm coining the term right now. We were talking about this. What comes after the silver tsunami? And it's the new wave.
There we go.
The new wave of engineers.
And they're
coming. I don't want to call it, you know, a tidal wave, but because that can be kind of scary after a tsunami. But the new wave, this new wave of talent that's coming into the industry. I saw it at SMTAI a couple of weeks ago. This influx of new people that look different, that are young, have these new ideas. And it's an exciting time to be in our industry.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm seeing a better gender mix too. I'm not seeing, you know, the next wave of old white guys, you know, coming in. I'm seeing all sorts of ethnicities
everything.
And genders, and it's good. It's wonderful to see that we're going to get a lot of experiences and a lot of different thought processes and a lot of talent coming into our industry. They're going to take care of us when we're retired, sitting on a beach somewhere. So. It's a relief to see that. And there's some bright young talent coming in, and I'm happy to see the diversity, and I'm happy to see people, younger than 98 years old, you know, ready to carry the torch and to bring this whole IoT revolution, and whatever results from that, into the next generation.
Well, yeah, but I think it also precipitates some really interesting conversations, you know, asking the experts of our industry why things are the way they are. It gets a conversation started that maybe we haven't thought about that clause that was in the IPC standard that's been there for, you know, since 1996 when the mil-spec went away, you know. Sometimes people ask a new question and it changes the conversation. It becomes more interesting. And there's so much knowledge to share in this industry.
Absolutely.
It's the time that you definitely have to come to these technical conferences and absorb it all.
And so for our audience's sake, the technical conference and the trade show, APEX, the meetings and courses are from February 1st through 6th. The conference and exhibition is February 4th through 6th. And all of this is at the San Diego Convention Center, of course, in San Diego, California, where I can only recall maybe one year where it rained. In all the years we've been going down there. So I can almost guarantee, in fact, I think Sandy will refund your money, or Brooke, Sandy will refund your money if it rains. You heard that here first.
I do not sign up for that.
You didn't sign up for that. Well, it's an unauthorized offer. But it's always beautiful down there in February. And I expect.
Yeah, especially coming from upstate New York, I can get out of the snow. Remember how life really is for a few minutes while I'm there.
For the privilege.
This time,
few.
As I come out of the technical conference, I can look out at the ocean.
Right.
Remember how wonderful it is to be on the West Coast.
And unlike your water in upstate New York, our water moves. Your water is frozen until like July or something, right? So,
practically, yes.
I actually see it in a liquidous state. So, Brooke, thank you so much for being my guest again, and letting us get that preview of what we're going to be experiencing in just a few short months.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure talking with you again. And just a reminder, if anyone is looking for more details, check out the APEX Expo 2020 at IPC.org website. And or you could email me at brooksandy@IPC.org.
Excellent. Or just Google APC, IPC APEX and it'll take you right
there. Yeah, APEX.
Yeah, it's a great show and an even greater learning experience there. And again, Brooke, thank you so much.
Great. Thanks, Mike.
Well, that's another episode. Thanks for listening to the Reliability Matters podcast. Don't miss an episode. Subscribe to Reliability Matters on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcast. Reliability Matters and other reliability-based podcasts are available at Circuit Assembly's PCB Chat at pcbchat.com and at Ascendo Reliability at reliability.fm. Thanks for your comments. Please keep them coming. Send comments and episode suggestions to Mike at mikeconrad.com. That's Conrad with a K. Until next time, thanks for listening and keep doing it right.
Thanks for listening to the Reliability Matters podcast. Join us on the second and fourth Tuesday of each month for new episodes of Reliability Matters.